भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 15, Text 32. Evam sumam tritartaste Guru Nartanudarshina Hitva tri vistapam jakmur Yirvanat kamarupina Evam sumam tritartaste Guru narta nudarshina Hitva tri vistapam jakmur Girvana kama rupina Evam sumam tritartaste Guru narta nudarshina Hitva tri vistapam jakmur Girvanat kamarupina. Evam sumam tritartaste Guru Narta Evam sumam tritartaste Guru Narta Nudarshinaha Vaishnavis. evam das sumantrita being well advised artaha about duties te they the demigods guruna by their spiritual master artha anudharshina whose instructions were quite befitting hitva given up trivishtapam the heavenly kingdom yakmuhu went girvanaha the demigods kamarupina who could assume any form they like. Translation and purport of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Please repeat. The demigods, being thus advised by Brihaspati for their benefit, immediately accepted his words, assuming forms according to their desire. They left the heavenly kingdom and scattered without being observed by the demons. Purport. The word Kama Rupina indicates that the demigods, the inhabitants of the heavenly planets, can assume any form they desire. Thus, it was not at all difficult for them to remain incognito before the eyes of the demons. So this text has very short purport. I will continue reading to the next one. The next 33 translation. When the demigods had disappeared, Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana, entered the heavenly kingdom, and from there he brought the three worlds under his control. Text 34. The Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu, being very pleased with their disciple, who had conquered the entire universe, now engaged him in performing 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices. Purport. We have seen in the dispute between Maharaj Prithu and Indra that when Maharaj Prithu wanted to perform 100 Ashwamedha yajñas, Indra wanted to impede him, for it is because of such great sacrifices that Indra was made king of heaven. Here the Brahmana descendants of Bhrigu decided that although Maharaj Bali was situated on the throne of Indra, he will not be able to stay there unless he performed such sacrifices. Therefore, they advised Maharaj Bali to perform at least as many Ashwamedha yajñas as Indra. The word ayaya ayayayam indicates that all the Brahmanas induced Bali Maharaj to perform such sacrifices. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksurum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami iti namine. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pakshastyade Satarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you for coming. So before I start speaking, I would like to apologize. I get confused what I was chanting Radha Madhava. So I changed the tune. I shouldn't do that, actually. Sorry. For the last days, we have been discussing this very interesting pastime. Bali Maharaj taking the post of Indra in the heavenly planets, It's amazing how everything happens by blessings. Prabhupada, in one of his purposes, one of his previous purposes, he mentioned how the blessings or the favor of the exalted Vaishnavas is more powerful for our advancement in Krishna consciousness than our own effort. And here Pali Maharaj is taking the pose of Indra because he's getting the favor of the Brahmanas. He's getting the favor of the Brahmanas. This cooperation between the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, it goes simultaneously. So the Brahmanas, they cannot, leave, they cannot execute their duties without the help of the Kshatriyas. And vice versa, the Kshatriyas, they cannot execute their duties without the help of the Brahmanas. So when we read this pastime, it's really, really fired up, you know, to see things that happens only in movies nowadays, you know. People disappear and taking different forms and this, all this battle. I remember when I was very, very child, you know, as many of us, we watch cartoons and you see these fired out things, people who fly and take different forms. And I was very into it. Many times I asked my mom, say, I want to do that, you know. Tell me, take me to some place that I can learn how to do this. And my very kindly mom, most of the time she was saying, just wait for you to grow up. Wait for you to grow up. You will learn. And sometimes I was very insisting, but please take me, you know, I want to learn. I remember a few times she told me, only in India, she said like that. Yeah, I remember that. Only in India, few of these things happen. And I was, wow. So the name India is stuck in my mind since I was a little child. And then maybe because of that, teachings of reincarnation, karma, and another teachings, was easy for me to understand. I was craving for India. But yes, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that this is not mythology. This is not fiction. It's something real. It's something real. That is the Prabhupada is open to us, this the door for us to have some access to see things that the mundane people, they are not able to see or understand. Okay, so Bali Maharaj got this favor or this throne because of the Brahmanas. So we gotta understand what is the Brahmanas' duties, you know, because we have dharma, which we gotta execute dharma, you know, dharma to saksat bhagavan pranita. So we should live our life following the instructions which are established by Krishna. And also we have swadharmas, which are duties that we get by belonging to any particular varna or ashram or occupation. So if we don't know what is our duties, so we don't know how to act. It's very simple, you know. It's most of the people, they are very engaged in duties, but why they are not happy by execution of his duties? Because they don't know what to do, what not to do. The same in Krishna consciousness, we should know what is our duty. We have duties in particular ashrams, and we have duties also in particular varna. Prabhupada mentioned in few of his lectures, let me see, I get confused with so many notes sometimes. Prabhupada mentioned in some of his lectures what is the duty of the Kshatriyas and what is the duty of the Brahmanas. Basically, the Brahmanas, they execute yajna, sacrifices, and they teach also how to perform sacrifices. They are qualified to get charity. They get charity, and also they give charity. And they learn the Vedas, they learn, and they teach also the Vedas. That is basically the main function of the Brahmanas. The Kshatriyas also, they learn and they do this, but there is one exception. The Kshatriyas, they don't get charity. But they give charity, but they don't get charity. So if you want to give charity, go to a Brahmana. Prabhupada explains that. Also, the Brahmana's duty is to examine whether the Kshatriyas are performing their duties nicely. So, and then, how do the Brahmanas? The Brahmanas are, Prabhupada said, is the head of the society. So head means that they control. But how do the Brahmanas control? Not by power, not by force, by knowledge. The Brahmanas, they control by knowledge. So having knowledge is something very powerful. And that because they are situated in goodness, in the mode of sattva-gun, they are very respectful, very influential. And also the Brahmanas' duty is to control their senses. And then the Kshatriyas, they examine that the Brahmanas are training the people nicely. So the Brahmanas, they teach, and the Kshatriyas, they observe that the Brahmanas are executing their duties, are training the people nicely. Training in what? In the principles of Sanatana Dharma. And then the Kshatriya's business is to see that everyone is discharging his duties. That is the business of the king, the Kshatriya's, to see that everyone is engaged doing or executing their particular duties. No laziness, no nonsense, no, everybody has to be engaged. And then the Kshatriya's symptoms are power and fame. Just the Kshatriyas, they control by power and fame. Those are few of the duties of the Brahmanas and few of the duties of the Kshatriyas. So for knowing what is our duty, going more deeply into this, first, we cannot understand what is our duty if we are not able to inquire first about ourselves. So first is Atato Brahma Jigyasa. You know, first inquire. And when you inquire, you will find out that there is something in this material world. You know, that you are the eternal, you are the soul, that Krishna is the super soul, and you are a servant. So first is Atato Brahma Jigyasa, and then what it comes? Your duty, and your duty means to know the basis things in life. That is called Sambandha. And in the execution of Sambandha, we mentioned this word many times, you know, Sambandha. The Acharyas, they explain that there is 7 teachings in this process of Sambandha. So Sambandha means our existential situation, you know, to understand who we are, to understand why we are here. So first, when we inquire about Sambandha, we got to understand who is God, or who is Krishna, Bhagavan, you know, Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. And then that Krishna, second, he has many energies, many chaktis, and then we understand the most material nature, how the most acts, you know, there is this material energy, internal energy, spiritual energy, tatastha shakti. So we understand this thing. And then the third one, Krishna's divine mood, rasa. we understand that Krishna, his Shaktis, and then there is mellow, there is relationship, there is enjoyment, there is rasa, there is some enjoyment in Krishna. And then the jiva exists. Krishna exists, so I exist. And then this bondage, okay. Bondage and liberation types, okay. I exist, I am a spirit soul, but why I'm suffering? So when we think or we inquire why we're suffering, we understand that there is two different kinds of jivas. Jivas who are nityavadas and jivas who are nityasidas. Jivas who are eternally liberated and jivas who are eternally conditioned. Those jivas, nityavadas, are the ones who are suffering. As we discussed before, suffering means that we did something bad before. That's why we are paying reactions in the form of suffering. Very simple. So we are responsible for our own suffering. The tendency is to point out someone else. You know, oh, this person, or this. No. So we are responsible of our own suffering. This is the first thing we got to understand when we are approaching Krishna consciousness. Because in the material world, we have the tendency to point out faults. You know, why I born in this family, my mom, why this, and then we fight, you know. I didn't want to be part of that family. No, you deserve that. Because we deserve it, that's why we are in a particular situation. So that is nityavada. And the nityasidas, they are souls who are eternally liberated, perfect souls. They just enjoy with Krishna. And sometimes they come to this material world to execute some particular mission under Krishna's behalf. And then we have this inconceivable oneness and difference of the Lord and the individual soul. And then comes this understanding that Krishna, the soul, are not the same. Well, in one sense are the same, in a minute part, but at the same time they are different. Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. So having these teachings, and then we can go to the next step, which is Abhideya, which is the practice, the process of devotional service, and then after Prayojana, which is the goal of life. So now, if we ask anyone outside in the material world to explain to us what is a real duty, or what is my duty with God, there is not an answer. They don't know what to do. They don't know what not to do. So we, in one sense, we are very lucky that we came in contact with this Krishna consciousness teachings, Krishna consciousness movement, because we know what is real religion. People outside, they take irreligion as being religion. Why do they preach? Eat meat, intoxication, gambling, illicit sex. They preach like that, actually. I have a lot of experience. Sometimes I go out for exercise, and at a particular place that I go, I have this good fortune that I always meet one Muslim, a Christian guy, and he always try to convince me. Jesus is the only way. And he shouts loud. I am doing my exercise, some people around me. And as soon as he sees me, he just starts, Jesus Christ is the only way. And you're going to hell. Anyway, I don't pay attention to that guy. Sometimes we get in conversations, and I touch the topic of not eating meat. And he said, no. You know, Jesus Christ, he ate meat. And actually, there is nothing wrong with eating meat. Doesn't matter what goes into your mouth. What the most important is what comes out of your mouth. You know. So this is a Christian guy But he is preaching something which is adharmic. Something which is adharmic. And nowadays, just in the United States, 10 billion animals are killed every year to gratify our senses, our tongue. And those animals are animals who just land animals. They live on the land. You know, pigs, cows. You know. And then there is a statistic of 20 billion sea animals, aquatic animals, are killed also every year, just in this country. Plus, almost 9 billion animals are killed outside the United States, and they are brought into the United States for the consumption of the people. So you see, altogether, plus 51 billion aquatic animals are killed outside. So if you put all this together, almost 90 billion animals are killed every year for the sense gratification, you know, the consume of the people, just in the United States, just in this country. So that this is what is going on. This is what the people take as a religion, you know. And when they see us, they see us as a something very strange. That's why we got to understand that our position is not only very fortunate. We have a great responsibility, and we have a great mission also. Great mission. Because we are fighting with this energy, with these people, who they are many, you know. We are just, look, how many we are here. We are maybe few people. That's why Prabhupada said, the bodies are very special. And we don't know who is that person who is sitting right next to you. You know, like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was visiting one of the Gaudiya Maths, and in that mat there were 3 brahmacharis. And they were very engaged in doing devotional service, pujari, cooking, and cleaning, and preaching, and collecting boga. Very, very engaged, very pure brahmacharis. And then, suddenly, they got into an accident, and they died. 3 of them. They were traveling, they died. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in one lecture, he said, they were gopas in the spiritual world. They just came to execute some devotional service, you know, to burn, to execute some devotional service, and then they left. They went back. In another occasion, maybe some of you have heard of this disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati from Germany. He is the only disciple from Europe. In one lecture, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he stopped, and he said, Sadanandana Swami, that was his name, Sadanandana Swami, he is my associate, my eternal associate. Wherever I go, he goes with me. We don't know. We don't know. That's why every person who comes outside the temple of Aproshi is very, very special. It's very, very rare. You know? The same Prabhupada, who knows? These great Prabhupada disciples who they helped Prabhupada when came, they are not ordinary people. They are very special personalities. Especially those who until now they are carry out this Krishna consciousness movement. They are, let's put it like this, Prabhupada's associates. And we are very grateful and very respectful for them. Anyway, going back to the chapter, I remember having this very little experience of something that for me was very fired up, you know. In Peru, as many of you know, it's a very mystical place, many chamans, many people, you know, who are searching for mysticism, they go to the mountains of Peru, and I get the opportunity to meet many people like that, and also the bodies. It's very common to find the bodies who, I don't know how to explain, but they had very fired up experience. Like, for example, one devotee, he got this, he said revelation that in one of our temples in Lima, especially in the kitchen area, there was a treasure hidden on the ground. And then he wanted to confirm that, and he went to another devotees who also have the same, I would say, vision, skills, power. And these two devotees, they went into meditation in their trance, and they were able to see the same, that actually it was real. There was a treasure underground in that area in the kitchen. So they approached the temple authority. So we should get that treasure. So the temple authority said, okay, if you know exactly where it is, okay, we gotta start excavating it. Okay, you know, the work started. Some men, they were excavating. Actually, we found out that a few months after, because that was also what's going on in a very secret, you know. They didn't tell too many devotees. And the construction was going on. And then what happened is that these three devotees, they went into their subtle bodies, they three in subtle bodies, to what happened before, during the time when that treasure was hidden in that particular place. How is that happening? And they went back in time, on time. And they found out that in that area, in that particular area, there was a big palace. And what happened is that the owner of that palace found out that his wife was having a relationship with another man. And he didn't wanna allow his wife to enjoy the treasure. That's why before he died, he made a huge hole on the ground, and he just, you know, put all the wealth, the money, the gold, everything in that place, hidden. Anyway, these three devotees, they found out that they were looking everything, and then one of them was caught by one of the servants, that he was observing everything. And then he started running behind him. And he started running. And then, boom, he came back to this dimension. But the thing is that the three of them, they have the same experience, the same vision, and the same everything. The same everything. Anyway, when they excavated to find out the treasure, finally, one ghost came out. And this is real. One ghost came out and talked to one of the Prabhus and said, the only way that you will be able to get this treasure is if someone of you die, you know, is killed, and is put it in the ground, and I will get relief, and then I will give out the treasure. So in other words, this ghost was taking care of that treasure. And what happened, every time they were excavating and, you know, just about to get the treasure was moving out to another place. Moving. So, yes, things like this, at least we know from the Vedas that these things are possible. It's possible. So I know these devotees. They are very close friend devotees of mine. And I was told this actually by this pastor, by two of them, you know. So that is how things happens. Anyway, our philosophy is not to get too much into this, basically. No, well, okay. What happened is that they told the temple president that these ghosts wanted one devotee to die and to get his place, and then he will release the treasure. And the temple president said, "No, forget about it. We won't sacrifice any devotee." And actually, there was one devotee who was willing to die. There was one devotee, he was willing to die, and he was serious. But the temple president said, "No, forget about it. We won't sacrifice any devotee, anyone here. Just cover it up. Finish." Our philosophy actually is not to get too much into this. Sometimes we explain things like this, maybe to understand, you know, or to get people's attention. But our goal or our aim is to get out from this material world, because we can get distracted with all these things and we can lose track. We can lose track. Like, for example, one of these devotees who was part of this mission, he is able to get out from his body, physical body, whenever he wants. He is amazing, actually. You know, whenever he wants. And he is here, and he can see what is going on in the subtle dimension. Everything. And sometimes he sleeps 2 or 3 hours because he's fighting in that dimension. You know? But his guru told him to stop playing, or to stop going out of his physical body. He says it's very dangerous. Don't do that, please. Yeah. Because our goal is not to get too much into this. Our goal is to develop your love for God. It's prema bhakti. You know, if we do have some experience like this, we should put it aside, you know, don't get distracted, and we should get into the process of chanting and association of devotees and things like that. That is not our ultimate goal. But yeah, these things are fired out, very fired out. Like this, I have, you know, few more experience. In that country, many weird things happens. Many weird things happen. Like two blocks from our temple, one of our temples in Lima, there is one house. Actually, that temple is a very, very, very important area. But 2 blocks, there is one house that nobody lives. It's well known in all the country that house is haunted by ghosts. There's many, many experiences. People go there and they hear voices and they talk. It's empty until now. You know. Anyway, I'm going to stop here. If anyone has some questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
No, that was Sura. He didn't say engage in sense gratification. He said, we shall adopt all the means of the materialist, but simply for satisfying Krishna. It doesn't mean that you engage in sense gratification. It means if you can use cars, planes, trains, all the means of the materialist for satisfying Krishna. It's not about sense gratification.
He has a question.
How can we determine what kind of body we're in? You're speaking about how a kshatriya cannot perform the prescribed duties of a brahmana. And so I was wondering, how do you know what kind of body you're in?
So our body is a product of our karma. It's a product of our activities that we performed before. So definitely you are in a particular body, with a particular mind, with a particular situation, in a particular place, because you did something before that is bringing you into that particular situation.
Just to expand on that previous question, is that Prabhupada gave us the process of offering devotional service to Krishna in so many different ways. So we're able to offer nice foodstuffs to Krishna. He gives it back to us, and then our tongue can enjoy the taste of Krishna prasadam and at the same time become purified. It's similar with the flowers. First we offer to Krishna, then we smell. And in that way, our sense of smell becomes purified.
Jai Hari Bol. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.